Like many college campuses around the country, Williams College has struggled with how to balance campus concerns about free speech and open inquiry with fears of promoting hate speech and violent ideologies. Williams President Maude Mandel assembled an ad hoc committee to explore the issue at the private liberal arts college in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Mandel spoke with WAMC about the findings.
Last fall at Williams, there was a group of faculty that was interested in sparking a conversation on campus about whether Williams should sign the Chicago Principles, which is a document endorsing free speech and expression on campuses. And in response to that petition, which a number of faculty signed, there were students and alumni and some faculty who expressed some concerns about the particulars of the Chicago Principles. And in response to that controversy, I put together a working group to explore the topic of free inquiry and inclusion.
Now, this predates just last year. Williams had a number of conversations about free speech on its campus. Can you speak to any of those longer issues that came in before you were in office?
Yeah, before my time here at Williams, like at many campuses across the United States, there had been some controversies around speakers and really a range of issues related to hate speech and the ways in which speech should or should not be regulated on a campus. So there were some controversies here, as I say, like in many places. So it wasn't the beginning of the conversation at Williams. And in fact, as I was arriving on campus, many people brought the issue up with me.
When that faculty petition came to you about the Chicago Principles, what was your initial response to it?
Well, I think initially I was interested in hearing what folks on campus had to say about the issue. I was not surprised at all by the range of opinions around the Chicago Principles per se. Again, that's a debate that's been happening across the country, so the kinds of issues that were raised at Williams weren't particularly surprising to me. But I was very pleased, actually, to have an opportunity to do a more systematic and deeper conversation about the topic here, which the ad hoc committee really has moved forward in very nice and productive ways.
Now that the committee's delivered a final report, what are the major takeaways from it?
So the report was really extraordinary, in part because they took very seriously the charge that I put forward, that they do deep research and community engagement around the twin commitments of free inquiry and inclusion. And I think these two areas often in the mainstream media and public opinion are treated as incompatible. But we here really believe that a great college and even a great democracy require both freedom and equality of opportunity. And the report really stressed that. They did a really terrific outreach. So they held over 30 meetings with all kinds of college groups, everyone from the Committee on Diversity and Community to dining services to our Society of Alumni Volunteers. They did an online survey, a postcard campaign, many hours of open hours, et cetera. And in doing that, they got a really broad sense, I think, of what Williams College thinks about the issues of free inquiry and inclusion and how we can continue to forward both of these commitments. And I think their, you know, their takeaways, to answer your question, were really interesting, that they certainly heard very little support at Williams for a no-platform policy or for disinviting speakers and performers, but also a small minority of voices that strongly differed on this issue. They also found out that very few respondents believe the college's hosting of an outside speaker equals an endorsement of that viewpoint. And most interestingly, I think, to me, they found that students and faculty strongly supported event formats that allow for multi-sided exchange and debate. And that's something I think that a college should really engage in when inviting folks from off campus to speak.
As far as specific guidelines moving forward, do you have a better sense of what kind of speakers maybe wouldn't make the cut in this new set of established rules that you're putting together?
Well, I think it's not. Are you asking specifically, would there be times that we wouldn't invite somebody to campus? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the report makes it very clear that Williams should adhere to strong pro-speech policies and principles articulated by the American Association of University Professors and PEN America. And really, both of those documents suggest that one would only turn down a speaker in case he is really a very dramatic safety threat for campus. But I think it's very important to say that what the report emphasized wasn't so much when you do or don't cancel a speaker, but rather what you do to ensure that when a speaker comes to campus, that we have the most powerful learning outcomes possible, which means thinking very carefully about how the speaker engages with students, faculty, staff, and community members when they're on campus, how we prepare the campus for their coming, what other kinds of events we schedule around it. So it's not so much about whether they come or not, but what they're doing when they're here and how do we make it as educationally valuable as possible.
Given the very confrontational nature of the conversation around this issue on college campuses, how do you plan on translating these findings into a kind of understanding that might, you know, assuage the fears of people on campus?
Well, I think the key to answering that question really is about, again, what we do around speakers coming, how we prepare the campus and what we do subsequently after somebody comes in order to engage the range of issues that have emerged. But I think it's also worth noting, and I think the report makes this clear, that one of the things the campus disagrees about is the boundaries of this very issue of where free inquiry clashes or can clash with people's concern about the kinds of speech that are understood to be as hate speech. And so that's one of the things the community is arguing about. And in fact, one of the events this year that I thought was very successful on campus was a debate that was held or a discussion that was held with speakers around the free speech issue. And in fact, we had just the kind of heated, engaged conversation about free speech that marks, I think, Williams as a very engaged learning community where people can disagree and still engage in important conversation.
Recently, the college administration has clashed with its own student government over this very issue about free speech. I'm speaking, of course, about the Williams Initiative for Israel conversation from earlier this year. How does the findings of this committee play into that debate over what constitutes hate speech at Williams?
Yeah, to be clear, I don't think the Wi-Fi event was really about free speech as such. This was a situation in which a student group was trying to form a group called the Williams Initiative for Israel, which we call Wi-Fi here, to become an approved registered student organization through the College Council. And the College Council opted not to make this group a registered student organization, and in so doing, they didn't follow their own guidelines on how to form an organization or not on campus. So really the issue here was focused more on freedom of association, if you want to use language like that, but around who and how we constitute groups on campus. And we used an alternative process that was on the books here for making that group an RSO, precisely because under Massachusetts state law, a college student handbook is a binding contract between students and in the institution. And so we really had a legal obligation to offer that process if Wi-Fi requested it, which they did.
Given that student leaders and the administration differed on that issue, are you confident that the student body will also accept this new endeavor from the college to establish this free inquiry, pro-free speech attitude?
Well, I think that the experience pointed to the value of a discussion with Williams students about student governance, and we are engaged in a pretty developed strategic planning work at the college across many domains right now, including college governance, and we look forward to chatting with students in greater depth about the kind of governance they want and deserve at Williams as we think more broadly about our governance structures. And so I'm sure we will continue those conversations going forward in the fall.
Now that the report is in, what's next in this process?
So over the summer, I'm working forward on the 9 recommendations that the ad hoc committee report put forward. I was happy that all of the recommendations made sense for Williams. Some require some institutional structures to be put in place, which we're doing over the summer, and some require some conversations in the fall about implementation and college statements around these issues, and we will be prepared to do that in the fall.